Parshas Truma is this is Reb Pinchas, of course, is Parsha. The handout that you got is all taken from the Sefer Imrei Pinchas, which I'll tell you about in a minute. Just to some like introductory questions. So really, the first, there's three ideas here. Even four if we get to it. Because also Zayin Adar is this week. Usually it falls out with Tetzaveh, but this year it falls out on Friday. So there is... I don't know if I told you this. A number of years ago, I was in Warsaw. I was in the airport in Warsaw. I may have shared some maybe with you last year. I was in the airport in Warsaw. I think the guys in the back told this to. I was in the airport in Warsaw. I was waiting for a group. I was meeting a group to guide them in Poland for the week. And this Hasidish guy is also in the airport. So usually you see Jews or religious Jews in Warsaw. Usually they're part of a group. So this guy was in the airport. He comes over to me. He sees another guy with a yarmulke. And he says, "Lou, what brings you here?" I said, "I'm waiting for a group." He goes, "You're here for the yard site." It was the yard site of one of the rebbes of Radishitz, as it's called. And he says, "I'm here for the yard site." I said, "Okay, great." And he goes, "Where are you from?" He says, "I'm from Eretz Yisrael." He says, "Ah, fe, Eretz Yisrael, fe." Like what? He says, "What?" He's from Williamsburg, and he says to me, we were much better off before we had the Medina. That's what he says to me. So I'm like, look at this guy. I'm like,
why?
Huh? Of all the places in the world, you're going to say that to me here in Warsaw, that we were better off before we had the state. Are you serious? You're like... There are currently in Warsaw, counting the two of us, about 102 Jews in Warsaw. Like, and you're telling me we were better off before? There were 350,000 Jews. It was the second largest community in the world after New York in Warsaw. And we were better off before. Really? So, I continue with him, and I'm going to tell you what I told him in the context of this. But that's number one. How are we? What is your problem? Like, how could you possibly? What's your problem, basically, to think such a thing? I'll tell you what his problem was. Second of all, of the three pillars on which the world stands. Torah, Vavoda, Milas Chasadim. If I were to ask you, what is the most difficult of the three to fulfill? Torah, Vavoda, Milas Chasadim. What is the most difficult of the three to fulfill? What would you say?
Torah.
Wrong. Wrong.
Avoda.
None of the above.
Avoda. Exactly. Exactly. It's what, right? What am I thinking is the question.
Really
no, I'll explain to you what I mean. It's a joke. It's you had in school, right? You know, those teachers like, what's the most important Rashi in this week's Parsha? Right? And you give an answer. He says no. Like, basically, it's an opinion question, right? And you're all wrong because you didn't guess what I'm thinking. That's really what the question. The teacher's really asking, can you guess what I'm thinking? That's really right. So you're all wrong. And the answer is Avoda. Answer is Avoda. Why is Tefillah, why do I think Tefillah is the most difficult? It happens to me. It's the hardest thing to teach. Tefillah is the hardest thing to teach. It's we have the most struggle in Tefillah. In fact, you'll have a lot of people during Tefillah, they're learning. They'd rather be learning than davening. Chesed, we'll run to do Chesed. Right? We'll run, we have the opportunity. Miriam calls us, can you come and do a thing? We'll run to do it. And we will, and it's fantastic, wonderful. We would all go to Camp Hask if we could. But if, when it comes to davening, most of us, of course there are exceptions, there are people who daven beautifully and always, even at a young age, daven beautifully. Most of us have a hard time spending more. Let's put it this way. We get more complaints about davening in Shiva Torah Shraga and the length of it than any other thing. No one complains that, they don't complain to us about
food.
No?
Nobody complains about food?
Yeah, food is a big one.
Huh?
Food is a big one.
Well, food isn't one of the things that
was perfect. I thought the Dabshi was perfect. I love it.
Great.
First day.
It's too schleppy. It's too long.
Too short.
They don't say like morning stage is too long. We'll get to it, but what's the nekuda? Why do you have such a hard time with davening, or really men?
The reason is probably because if anyone had ever been to shul before, it took like 30-35 minutes in shul. So now, if they're used to a 30-35 minute minyan, so now it takes an hour.
Right.
I used to have, but they never had a morning seder to compare it to. So if they have a 3-hour morning seder, they're like, oh, that's what it should be.
Correct.
So if they had a 6-hour morning seder next year, they'd be like, why is it so long?
All right.
Okay, we're gonna take it a little step further.
And generally, women, you find that women connect to tefillah in a much more natural way than men. You probably see this in your own homes. Maybe you see it with your mothers compared to your fathers, or you can see it with your... Not necessarily going to shul. Maybe your father's going to shul more, but in terms of when your mother davens, and the way she davens, the way your father davens, that's just a general thing. Certainly, when my kids see the way my wife davens, the way I daven, they see, of course, my wife is much better at it. And my daughters, the way my sons daven, totally different thing. That's the general thing. Why is the women connect to tefillah better than men generally?
And well, because they can focus 50% of their pillars on davening. We need to focus on that only a third.
Okay, all right. It's not just a pillar. I'm just saying in general they connect. They connect to it. I'm not saying versus Talmud Torah. I'm just saying just in a vacuum. And then the last question is really the most famous question, which is you have here the Imre Pinchas. Okay? The Imre Pinchas is here. On the first piece here. The Yikuli Truma. Who's the Imre Pinchas? The Pinchas of Koritz. So you in this Luach HaChassidus. Okay? You have here on this page, you have Rabbi Saul Baal Shem Tov. These are the first generation is the Baal Shem Tov. Then you have the Magen Mezrich, then Rabbi Elimelech, and then the Chayzer Lublin. Okay, these are the first like leaders of each of the four first generations. So in the Talmidim of Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, you have Rav Dov Ber the Magen Mezrich. We've spoken about him. And you have this is the third one, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Mipolano. We mentioned him before. And then the second to last one, we've also mentioned the last one, Rabbi Nachum of Chernobyl, the Moray Ninth. And the one above him is Rabbi Pinchas Mikoretz. Pinchas of Koretz lived from 1728. He died 1790. Okay? Pinchas Koretzer was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And this, he didn't write anything in his lifetime. Tremendous tzaddik. The Baal Shem Tov said about him that we're zocha, every 500 years we're zocha to tzaddik on this level, and Rav Pinchas HaKoritzer is that tzaddik that is one in a 500 year, one in every 500 years comes a tzaddik in the level of Rav Pinchas HaKoritzer. The Magen Mezrich said about Rav Pinchas HaKoritzer, he said, he really should have been the mamshich of the Baal Shem Tov. Now, Rav Pinchas of Koritzer was famous that he didn't want to be a Rebbe. He davened that people shouldn't like him. He davened that people shouldn't like him. And there's a whole story about that. I share with Noam. If you're interested, I can share you the link. There's a site called, it's called RabbiShimon.com or .net or .org, whatever it is. It's all about the tzaddikim. My tzaddikim has a biography on all the Hasidic rebbes. And this biography of Rabbi Yonatan of course is a well-known story about how he davened that he shouldn't have any followers. In the end, he had, because he had to. The Maggid said about him is that the reason why he wasn't the Mamshech, he wasn't the Rebbe that he should have been, and really instead of the Maggid of Mezrich being the next leader of the generation, it should have been Pinchas of Karzer, because Pinchas is always alone. Pinchas is alone. In the Parshios, he was Mimachavin. You know, at the end of Bamidbar, we often have a lot of double Parshios. That's what we make up, the Parshios. Right? You have a Chukas Palach, and you have Matos Masei, and in the middle there, you have Pinchas, which is always on its own. So the reason it's always on its own is because Pinchas is a long Parshios, one of the longest Parshios. But the deeper reason I imagine is because Pinchas has to go alone. Pinchas was a Kanoi. Right? Pinchas was, he avenged the, right, he killed Cosby and Zimri. He was a Kanoi. He was a zealot. And our Pinchas, the Pinchas of Karatzer, was a Kanoi for MS, so he had to go at it alone. He didn't have a huge following. He wasn't the Mamshech. But he was a tremendous tzaddik. He was on his way to Eretz Yisrael from the Ukraine. He was going to make Aliyah, and then he died on the way in a place called Shepetovka. And his kever, I've been there a few times, his kever in Shepetovka, right next to the police station in this little town, on his way to Eretz Yisrael. So we don't have any writings of his during his lifetime. What we have is collections, and the most well-known is the Imre Pinchas, which this itself is an amazing story, that it was found, this manuscript of his teachings was found after the Holocaust. Somebody was in the town of Wrocław, which used to be Breslau, which was part of Germany, now it's part of Poland, and in the marketplace came across a manuscript, handwritten notes, which was then published as the Sefer Imre Pinchas. It was not known before. And that's what we have here. So, it says, V'yikhu li truma, uberashi li lishmi. What does it mean, li? Li means lishmi, for my name. Amar shishoma shenitpas b'shem Reb Zusha mi'Anapoli. So he's quoting Reb Zusha. Reb Zusha was a Talmud of the Maggid Mezrich. Reb Zusha, however, was older than the Pinchas of Karzer. Reb Zusha was 10 years older than him. It's a question whether Reb Zusha ever met the Baal Shem Tov, but because he came later to the game into the Hasidus, and he was a Talmud Muvak, one of the first earliest Talmudim of the Maggid Mezrich. But it's not clear whether he ever actually met the Baal Shem Tov himself. The Baal Shem Tov died in 1760. So Pinchas HaKartzer saw in the name of Reb Zusha, Dekosha Dehavale Lameimer V'yitznu. Reb Zusha asked the question, why does it say V'yikhu Li Truma? This is the most well-known question on Parsha Truma. It's not just Reb Zusha asked this question. Everybody asks this question. V'yikhu Li Truma, right? Hashem says, take for me a Truma. What do you mean, take for me a Truma? Right? It should be give to me a truma. You're giving to the Mishkan. What does it mean, v'yikhu li truma, take for me a truma? That is the most well-known question on this parsha. And there are a lot of well-known answers. Right? Maybe the most well-known answer that's given, and it's 100% true. Why does it say, when we're giving, it says take? What do you say? What have you heard before in this question?
Give
that. Yeah. When you give, you're actually receiving.
I would have answered the other way.
Natan's from backwards is Natan.
Okay.
Yeah. is. Natan is a palindrome.
And that one only
it's a huge palindrome, right? It's hard to follow it. Nun, tough nun.
No, but
flip it around.
That would have only answered the other way around.
And it's still not something different. What?
That would have only answered the other way around.
What do you mean?
Meaning if it was supposed to say, if it said Vayinu, but it was supposed to say Vayichu, then you could say that, but you can't say that here.
Why not? I just said it.
No, but I'm saying it's not something. Well, actually, you haven't said it.
Vayichuli Truma, you're benefiting. More than you're giving, you're actually benefiting. The one who gives actually gets much more in return than the one who receives. That's a klal gadol in life, in Torah, in our understanding. A parent gets much more enjoyment, receives much more when giving to a child than the child gets in receiving from the parent. Okay? And then many, many rayos from this all over the Torah and Chazal and so on. Rabbi Sacks, Ola Shalom, in his book to Heal a Fractured World, which is one of the best of Rabbi Sacks' books. So he tells a story about the Barbanel. Maybe we even said it here before. It sounds familiar. But Rabbi Yitzchak Dan Abarbanel, who was a high minister in the court of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand in Spain. And they once called him in and they said, what is the net value of your assets, right? Google, what is the net value of Dan Yitzchak Abarbanel, right? And every time you write Elon Musk, you write Jeff Bezos, they go net worth. So Abarbanel, net worth. What's your net worth? So he thinks a second and he gives a figure. And they say, that's it? That's your whole net worth? Surely you're just your home, the home that you live in, he lives in a very beautiful estate, surely the home that you live in is worth much more than what you just said. He said, yes, the home that I live in, but you ask me what are my assets? My home isn't an asset, because as the king and queen know that I have that home at your benevolence. Right? And if you wanted to, in a flash, you could take it all away from me. So, although it's in my possession currently, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be mine permanently. It's not really an asset. What I gave you, the figure I gave you, is a be'erach, what I've given away in my life. What I've given away in charity. What I had, what was in my possession, I gave to others. That is really my entire net worth. That is my assets. Because that's the only thing that I own that you can't take from me, is what I've given away. And the truth is, that's what we're left with. When you talk about what can you take with you from this world? It's the things that you've given to others, that's the only thing you can take with you. That is everlasting. That's nitzchi. What you've given in tzedakah, what you've given to others, gifts, matanot, to your kids, to poor people, to institutions, that is what remains with you. Everything else is just temporary. That is v'yitnu and v'yikhu is the same. What I give is really what I'm taking for myself. That is 100% true. You don't need to come to the deeper to what's in the Torah. That's pashut. Right? That's all simple. We all knew that beforehand. Rav Pinchas Zakhar, just as by way of introduction, this is one of the most beautiful stories, which is what I told that Hasidic Shigid in Warsaw. So I'll tell you what your problem is. He said, you know the story of the dirty kopek? What a beautiful story. He says, that's your problem. You that's your problem. The problem with the dirty kopek. I hear. Anyway, so comes the Pinchas of Karitzer. And he says like this.
I was so lost around that. Like, I got into the dirty carpet.
Right? Do you want to hear the story?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to hear if you want to hear the story. It's the whole essence. Whole essence is you have to want to hear the story.
I thought you were going to say, like, you got to hear the story. Like, if you're in the middle of the
paragraph. If you're not asking for the story, then no reason to tell it.
Could you please have a story?
Oh.
tell me, take it outside.
So yeah, as Rabbi Rakef would say, you guys owe me at least $1 million for the story. Okay?
No.
You have to oh, pay for the story. And you'll understand what I'm trying to say when I'm getting it. This is all part of the teaching of Pinchas of Karatze. Is that stories like this? There was in St. Petersburg, there was a young Jew who, a yatzom, an orphan, who was taken captive for ransom. And he was a chassan, he was about to be married, a week or two away from his wedding. And the police chief, corrupt police chief, he probably had run a big debt from his bad bets, and he kidnapped this young man and held him for ransom that he would only return him to the Jewish community for 10,000 rubles. So the Talmid of the Baal Shem Tov decided we got to act on this one very, very wealthy Jew. His name is Wolf. And Wolf was his name really was very reflective of who he was. He was the wealthiest man in the town, but also he was a wolf. He was ravenous for more money and would refuse to give anything away. A miser. Holy miser. As we'll see, maybe. So the Talmid of the Magen Mezrich, led by the youngest of the Talmidim, who was later to be known as the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya. Okay, Reb Shneur Zalman. Reb Shneur Zalman was the youngest of the three. The other two that was with him was almost rebbes of him, because they were much older than him, was Rabbi Nachum Mendel Vitebsk and Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. Okay, you see here in the Talmud in the Magen Mezrich. Right, you see, they don't have Nachum Mendel Vitebsk. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, Shneur Zalman Liadi. Okay, but Rabbi Nachum Mendel Vitebsk should be here. He came to Eretz Yisrael. He's buried in Tveria. The kitzur, so Reb Shneur Zalman says, we're going to go to Wolf. If you want to come with me, come with me, but as long, on the condition you guys don't say anything. You zip it. He says, alright, we'll come, we'll escort you. So they go to Wolf's house, they knock on the door, and Wolf is very surprised and somewhat honored to see these three young rabbis knocking on his door. He says, please come in. What do I owe such an honor? So they said, we sit down. He has his butler bring a tea for them. And they're sitting and they're talking, they're schmoozing, and he says, listen, Wolf, we'll tell you why we're here. This is the Baal HaTanya talking. He says, there's this young man, his Nebuch, he's a yasom, he has nobody in this world. And the community had taken upon themselves to finance his wedding. He has nothing. And this is, it's one of our own. And tragically, he was taken kidnapped, yada, 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 10,000 rubles. We're here. This is one of the greatest mitzvahs. Pidyon Shvuyim is one of the greatest mitzvahs, maybe the greatest mitzvah you can do. And this, in this particular case, we're talking about a yasom, right? Last week's parsha Mishpatim, how precious. There's tremendous bracha here, and he's laying it on thick. And a tear comes down the cheek of Wolf. And Wolf says, you've really touched me. I want to participate in this holy mitzvah. You really, I've never been felt so inspired to give like now. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out black, filthy, dirty kopeck, which is a penny. And he hands it, I want to take a part in this mitzvah. And he hands it to the Baal HaTanya. And the other tzaddikim are looking and going, oh my God, what a chutzpah. What a chutzpah. And the Baal HaTanya says, wow, Wolf, thank you so much. I see we've touched you deeply, that you want to participate in this mitzvah. What a tremendous act of chesed and stuck that you're doing. Kol hakavod to you. And he's just showering him with blessings and praise. And they're looking at the Baal Tanya, what is the matter with you? You're wasting our time. We have only a few days and we have to collect all this money. You're wasting our time here. What a chutzpah this guy is. You should have thrown the money right back. And that's what they're thinking. And he's looking at them and he's zip it. And he showers them with more praise. And you should be classing your children. You should be always amongst the givers and not the takers. Da, 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 da. And then Avof says, you know what? I want to make another donation. He reaches back in his pocket and he pulls out another penny, another kopek, another dirty kopek, and hands it to him. And once again, the Baal Tanya is showering him with brachos and praises, kol hakavod to you, kol hakavod to you. And he says, you know, thank you so much. We have to be on our way, but thank you really for really getting this off to a head start. And now we feel confident we can raise the rest of the money. And they're looking at him like, what's the matter with you? And they're heading out the door, and right before they head out the door, he says, please, please, Rabosai, please come sit down. You know what? I want to make a serious contribution. Okay? He goes into the other room, and he comes back with 1 ruble. They need 10,000 rubles. Comes with 1 ruble. And says, here is a ruble. Kol hakavod, thank you, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, they leave for real this time, and they're starting out. They're about 100 feet, just about to leave his estate. And he says, please, please come back, come back, come back. Comes back, he hands him 5 rubles. Go out again, come back, 10 rubles, 100 rubles. Finally, after many hours of going back and forth, he writes the last check to cover the entire 10,000 rubles.
It's like 1 ruble left.
10,000 rubles. And they have the entire sum of money. It took them a few hours, they have the entire sum of money. And the other Rebbe is looking at the Baal Tanya and he goes, well, how'd you know? Like, what was your secret? How did you know? We were ready to kill the guy when he pulled out that kopek. He says, yeah. Did you notice what you noticed about that kopek? What did you notice about it? He says, yeah, it was a filthy, dirty, like you couldn't even see the tzura of the face on the coin. He says, yeah, exactly. You know why? You know why you couldn't see it? Because a wolf, probably for the last 20 years, has been trying to give that kopek away when people ask for tzedakah. And he's been trying to give it. And every time he's been trying to give it, someone's probably taken it and thrown it back at him, saying, oh, chutzpah, this is giving? I don't want... We've all had this experience, right? Somebody stops at the kotel and you give him all you have is a half shekel on you, whatever it is, a few agarot, and the guy throws it back at you. Right? So this is what people have been doing. People have been doing this. For years they came to me and been throwing it back at him. You understand that he's been wanting to give his whole life, but no one was willing to be makabel, willing to receive it. And so the pipe of Shefa, the pipe of abundance that was constantly, the spigot was constantly closed. And finally, when we were makabalit, and we appreciated what he gave, it opened the gates, it opened the pipe, and all the abundance came coming down. So this is what I said to this Hasidic Jew. I said to him, you realize that you, according to your opinion, Eretz Yisrael is a dirty kopek, and you're not willing to accept it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants to give to the Jewish people, especially after the Churban. He just wants to give. And he did give. He gave very generously, according to my opinion. According to your opinion, it was a dirty kopek, but you threw it back in his face. So what's your expectation after that? If you can't see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving us a gift, as dirty as it was in your eyes, and you're not willing to be makabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the shefa is going to be shut down. It's going to be turned off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants to give the Jewish people. But he needs the people to say, I want to hear the story. Can you share this with me? What's the story? What he gives us, we accept, and we accept his simcha and appreciating what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to us. Says that Reb Pinchas of Karatzer. Ubir. Reb Zusha explained. Da'yideit stoka na'ase yichud ayidei hanosim v'hamekabel. That through the act of tztaka, there is a union that's created, a yichud, okay, the ultimate union, which is a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness, between the nosein and the mekabel, the giver and the receiver. Nase shem havaya kedi'isa bisfarim. That through the nosein, the mekabel, there is created, the shem Hashem is created when there is a union between the giver and receiver. In every single relationship, in every single relationship in this world, there is a nosein and mekabel. Okay? In our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the nosein, we are the mekabel. In relationship between husband and wife, there is a nosein and mekabel. Sometimes the male is the nosein, most often he's the nosein, and most often the woman is mekabel, but often it's reversed. The woman is the nosein and the man is mekabel. Rebbe Talmud, nosein and mekabel. And sometimes it's reversed. Sometimes the student is the nosein, and the Rebbe has to be mekabel. In every single relationship, in a chavrusa, there is a nosein and mekabel. There's the one who does more of the giving, he does more explaining, he can read better. So he's the nosein at that moment. The other one who needs help figuring out how to read this line, he's the mekabel. But then it may flip. The other one says, okay, now I understand, this is the pshat. This is now we can answer Rashi. The one who's the mekabel, now he's the nosein. There's always a nosein mekabel in every single relationship. And that nosein mekabel relationship creates a yichud, which is a reflection of Hashem Himself. V'hine hanosein mistam mechavin l'shem shamayim. The nosein, the one who gives, mistama, we can assume that he's being mechavin l'shem shamayim. He's, in fact, he's the one who's giving, right? He's giving up. There is an element of mesiras nefesh involved. He must be doing it. We assume he's doing it l'shem shamayim. Someone comes and he asks you for tzedakah, and you give. It's not so easy to give. Not so easy to part with your hard-earned money or your parents' hard-earned money that they gave to you that you were going to use on Hatch, and then you have to give it away. It's not easy. And yet you do it. It's l'shem shamayim. I'm willing to give this away rather than fill my stomach with buffalo wings. Haval hamakabel mechabim anas atzmo. But the one who's receiving, he's out for himself. Right? There is hana for himself. He's asking, give me, give me, give me. It's for me. L'zeh hizir comes along the Torah and warns us, v'yikhuli truma, take for me truma. Meaning when you're on the take, when you're on the makabel, that do that li l'shmi. Be makabel l'shem shamayim. Shigam ki hit. Sorry. Shigam hamakabel yichavei lishma. That even the one who's receiving should also have kavana lishma. I'm doing this lishma. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm doing it to create a yichud, to create a connection here between the nosein and the kabel. I'm doing it to help the nosein. When I ask, and by the way, this is the yisod of fundraising, rather. When you're, what are you doing when you're fundraising? Really, who are you helping? You're helping the one who's giving. You're giving him the opportunity, like we said before, you're giving him the opportunity to give, make a fantastic investment. Instead of using that money to buy a car, a Tesla, which is very nice, a beautiful car, great, saves the environment, and fantastic, emissions, all that's great. But ultimately, it's here today, gone tomorrow. But now he's putting that same money, he's investing it in a yeshiva or in his family, whatever it is. That is investment that's worth eternity. That's worth much more. So you're the Makabel, but you're doing it L'Shem Shamayim. Have in mind, I'm doing this to give to him. I'm giving it to create a connection between the Makabel and the Nosei, to create a Yichud. Roshei Tevos Li L'Shem Yichud. To create a union, to create a Yichud of Hashem, expression of oneness in this world. In other words, we have a problem often, is that we want to be givers. We have often have a harder time being a Makabel, being on the receiving end. But often you have to be on the receiving end in order to allow others to be the givers. Men have a much harder time being a Makabel. By nature, the way God created us, the man by his nature is much more of a no-saint, and the woman is a Makaba. That in the union between the yichud, between husband and wife, the man is a no-saint and the woman is a Makaba. Okay? I refer you to ninth grade biology if you're not really catching on what I'm referring to here. Okay? The no-saint, there's the no-saint Makaba.
That wasn't the best way of saying it, by the way.
Thank
I was actually thinking how you were going to say it.
Thank you.
That is why he's
the one.
Yeah. One of the things you'll have a harder time understanding your generation is besides these matters is the it used to be, I don't know if you remember this way back when, you're driving with your family and your father is lost. Doesn't happen anymore, right? Doesn't happen such a thing. People get lost when they're driving or going somewhere. And then there was he's driving around in circles, and then your mom's going, just ask somebody. Just ask. Ask somebody for directions. Right? Just here, step. Here's the guy. Hey, go ahead, ask him. Ask him. Roll down the window. And your father says, no. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to lower myself to ask. I know it. I'm going to figure this out. I know it. We men have a hard time, right? What's the difficulty of being Makabel? And this is why we have a hard time davening. Is because we don't want to admit what Makabel is saying, I need you. Right? I need someone else to help me. Right? You saw that video, the guy who said, the three hardest words to say is, right? I love you, I don't know, thank you, and wish to shayoshos. Three hardest things to say. You ever saw that one? That you did that clip the guy made?
What?
No, you never saw that?
Mm-hmm. What was the last one?
That thing's... Oh, I'll send it to you. It was like in early Corona times. Anyways, where was I? Men have a hard time being on the Makabel side, admitting that they need others to help them, or they need to receive from others. So for us, what is the essence of tefillah? Essence of tefillah is basically saying, I need help. I need help. I can't do this on my own. Everything is dependent upon you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Really, nothing that I can do is really amounts to anything, it's all up to you. That is a difficult thing. When I learn, so I am the master, in a certain sense, right? It's intellect, like Akiva said, right? My mind is working. I am trying to figure a thing out. It's challenging. I feel like somebody. When I'm doing chesed, I'm giving. I'm doing. I'm active. I am in control. I am the man. When it comes to tefillah, I am nothing. I am nothing. Kadosh Baruch, I need you. I need your help. I can't do any of this on my own. I amount to nothing. And that's a very difficult thing for us to say and to do and to experience. And to do it 3 times a day. The Mishnah says in Brachos, right? Ein Adam Ome Ela Mitoch Kovid Rosh. And Rashi says, Behachna. We come to davening. We can only come to davening with total humility and self-effacement. That's hard. For women, it comes more naturally because they are, by definition, on the makaba. They can. They have a much easier time saying, "Can you help me with this? Can you help me with this?" Often in marriage, a lot of the breakdowns in relationships comes from the difficulty, more than the difficulty of giving, is the difficulty in receiving. Is creating a space, creating yourself to be a kli, to receive from others. And often the best way to give to someone else is by making yourself into a kli to receive from the other. And saying, she only wants to give to you. She wants to give and she wants to feel like she is needed. If you come home and you say, you know, and she says, I worked so hard and I prepared for dinner, I came home and the kids were going crazy and I still made time and I did dinner. And you say, you didn't have to make dinner. It's fine, I would have ordered in. It's no big deal. You miss the point. You miss the point. She's not saying, you know, I overwork myself because she wants to make you dinner. She wants you. She just wants you to be a makaba. She wants you to appreciate. She wants to say, wow, thank you so much. With all that was going on, you found time and you thought about me and you made me dinner. That is where you make yourself into a kli, and she feels like $1 million. She would much rather make you dinner, and you say thank you and be makabo, than have the time to lie down on the couch and order it. So that's the pshat here. Can we answer all our questions?
Why is that one the most important?
It's not most important, it's the most difficult.
Yeah.
It's the most difficult. We have the hardest time with it, and men have the most hardest time. And this is, because this is the difference between the koch of the gavra, koch of the duchra, and the koch of nukva, two different kochos. But together, when a person learns to be makabel properly, lishma, it's not because I need it, it's because I am creating myself a vessel so others can give. That is a yichud of reflection of a Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. Okay. Let's do the next piece here. The next piece is maybe even better than this one. HaMishkan shel HaMidbar haya beratzon. The Mishkan that was built in the desert was done voluntarily. It was done beratzon, willingly, voluntarily. Ish kifi nidvat libo, as the parsha says. Right? Man according to his generosity. Right? Moshe said to us, right, from Hashem, bring truma. And everyone gave according to whatever they wanted. There was no minimum, there was no maximum. You gave whatever you wanted to give. And to a point where Moshe had to say, enough, die, we have more than enough. More than enough. Lachein ha'elokiyu. Therefore, the Mishkan is everlasting. There is a kiyum to the Mishkan. V'chein kol davar shenase b'ratzon yesh lo kiyum. Anything that's done willingly, b'ratzon, because that's my desire to do it, that has a kiyum, it has a permanent existence. V'chol ma shenase ayde kfiya, ein lo kiyum. Anything that's done because you have to, it's forced upon you, that is temporary. V'lachein lo haya kiyum lemeis olamim she'asa Shlomo ki hitil mas al Yisrael. What a counterintuitive thing. The Beis HaMikdash, which is a Beis Olamim, was a Makom Keva, right, was a permanent building, permanent structure, that was destroyed. That didn't have a lasting existence. But the Mishkan, which is only meant to be temporary, right, the Mishkan was just an in-between stage till we got to Eretz Yisrael. That has a kiyum. Where's the Mishkan? What do you mean? What does he mean? There's a kiyum for the Mishkan. Where's the Mishkan? Where is it today?
Huh?
Was the Mishkan destroyed?
No, it's here. Wherever we let it in.
Okay, good. But I'm asking about the actual Mishkan.
The Vatican, or in Ethiopia,
The Mishkan was hidden. It was nitman. Chazal tells us it was hidden. Some in the Kael and Mishkan are in existence somewhere. Okay, there's another time I'll tell you a story about Wendell Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Wendell Jones is a real person. Indiana Jones is a real person. A guy named Wendell Jones. Google him. We met him. He came to yeshiva. Spoke to us. It's real.
No way.
Yeah, Wendell Jones.
He's still alive?
He's dead. He's dead, but... He was a real person. He discovered parts of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was hidden. It's going to be the original Aron, the original menorah, all these things are... They're somewhere, but not destroyed. Based on things were destroyed.
The Mishkan is hidden, or the objects hidden were hidden?
The Mishkan is all movable parts, right? It's all things like that
the walls too.
The walls also, right? All everything was moved, right? We every time we camped, put it together, and we took it apart, and we traveled. So it's a kiyum. Something that's done b'kfiya, often when someone is forced to do something, this is the difference between our yeshiva and a different yeshiva, right? Something done b'kfiya doesn't have a lasting. It's not done. You're forced to do it. You have to do it. This is the thing. You get thrown out if you're found whatever. On a Thursday night somewhere else, whatever, or your whatever the case may be. That you might get immediate results. You may get immediate results, maybe better results than immediate, but it's not going to last. The minute that threat is gone, so is the thing. So is the thing. What's done benedivasle, what's done with generosity of spirit, done beratzon, that has a kiyum. That's everlasting. By the way, that's the vort of the kiyum of Torah on Purim. They go on Shabbos and Peches. Kimu v'kiblu Yehudim, kimu mashikiblu kfar. At Har Sinai, we received the Torah. The Gemara says because kafin aleim hagigias. There was actually a kfiya. Kadosh Baruch Hu threatened us. I'm going to drop the mountain over your heads. On Purim, we receive the Torah willingly. We are re-accepted the Torah with a kiyum, kiyum mashakibu kfar. Now the Torah is with us forever because we took it beratzon. Ratzon, v'chakach omar, sheratzon b'gematria, Moshe, v'sogo gadol, v'zeh kal gadol. Ratzon and Moshe are the same gematria.
No, it's not. Not at all. I was doing the math.
How far off?
But like 300 something. A lot.
Yeah.
What is it?
You have 365. You
are you going to do one of those tricks where you just switch the letters, or you just
want? Wait, what's the Moshe and what?
That's
not. They're not all paid. 300.
I don't know.
Let's do it.
Throw by five.
Hmm?
No,
one.
It should be one.
That's 100.
One.
Vulgar's name.
Vulgar's
name. 1, 365. One of them's 290 plus 15.
One. 340. One. One. One.
No, they're not. Throw by 15. Oh, no. Plus above.
Rutsum.
Yeah, Rutsum.
Is 290.
46. No.
What?
No. 346.
346.
Yeah.
Moshe?
Yeah,
345.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Why did you say 365?
Wow, I was so off.
345, 346.
You got it.
Yeah, plus one.
Okay. Yeah, and the Shema Kolel, that's...
Yeah, that's
Moshe.
You
can
always
have
one.
No, that was one.
The one is like...
It's because
Moshe was... Moshe was in his mom's song.
Okay, Moshe and And itself.
Hold on. You said it's all by 300? Did Rebbe think that it was like also all by 300?
No.
you're like right away, you're like...
Okay.
I'm sorry, but now I've died. It's not very fast.
Okay.
I want to hear my wives tomorrow, actually. I'll be listening.
Can I get a bracha, please?
What?
Can I get a bracha?
Now it's a thing.
She didn't.
What?
It's a thing. Somebody in the back is supposed to get a bracha from that guy. Who just told me that?
John Capizzo.
Okay, guys, let's...
I'm going to get a bracha.
It's such an important idea... I can't really overstate this enough, this teaching here, that Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with Bechira, created us with choice. That is almost the essence of definition. Again, we may have spoke about this concept before. It's almost the essence of who we are. We are on the one hand a commanded being, on the other hand we are commanded but with choice. Nothing is bikfiyah. And the whole value of what we are and what we do is when we do it biratzon. Such an important thing when you are the nosing, when you are on the giver side, as a parent, as a teacher, whatever situation is, for you, often we think that, oh, we have to get that person to do this. I have to get him to do this. When you get that person to do it, you get him, or you think, how am I going to get him to do it? You're asking the wrong question. It's not how do I get him to do it. Is how do we create a situation where he wants to do it? Not that we get him to do it. It's not hard to train people. Aleph, you train a dog, you can train a person. You can. The key is to make that person into want to do it, to help that person realize that he wants to do it. What to direct, to guide his to a level of ratzon, and that's what made Moshe Rabbeinu the great teacher. That he was able to inspire ratzon in the Jewish people. Okay, the last piece here. B'mishkan haya bo domein ha'adanim. There were minerals which was the Adanim. The Adanim were the metal used to connect the woods, the wood planks in the Mishkan that created the walls. So Me'af HaKrashim, plant life was the Krashim, the wooden boards, the wooden planks. V'chai HaYiriot, the animal where the skins are used to create the covers and the walls. V'Kohen Gadol HaNichnas Lefnim Hu Midaber. And you had the fourth, the right man whose speech, Medaber, you had all the four elements, right, in the Mishkan. Laha'alot yichud b'chol ha'olamot. In order to create a yichud of all the worlds. In other words, Mishkan was the place of yichud of all the elements, mineral, plant, animal, man, together, creating a oneness, expression of oneness, connection of all the worlds. That was the goal of Mishkan. The Mishkan is to create a place of yichud, expression of the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the Noseh Mekabel, through Dan Biratzon, and then having all the elements in the Mishkan. Have a good night.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Everyone got one of these?
Yeah.
You guys grab
them. So keep.
I literally grabbed the whole thing already.
Okay, go.
Is there more? No.
Wait.
Oh.
Chozer Milu Lin was also a Talmud of Magen Mezrich and of one of the other.